I'm with Joe Wilson, also known as Joe Carr on Twitter. And I'd like to know your perspective. I'm at the NACE conference 2012. I'd like to know your perspective on what you've been involved in and coming down and having a look from the Scots perspective. And also, you've been in the curriculum session this morning. It'd be nice to have some feedback on that.
Okay, right. Quite a lot of questions all at once. I came down to NACE this year specifically because of the curriculum development work. Actually, because I think it's really important that the stakeholders of NACE have a very, very strong voice in shaping the curriculum in this area. Having been at the session this morning, I want them to be more confident and push a bit harder, because I think they really could take ownership of this landscape, but I still feel they're a wee bit uncertain at moving into this space. I suppose just the other reflection was I thought actually there would be stronger links between NACE, say, and the EduGeek type community, which is also a strong community of educational technicians operating in schools. And I suppose just as an outsider from up north, I think you should probably do a bit of stuff around there, and then not trying to in any way look down my nose or anything at different changes and things. There's actually a lot of this work that's been done already inside the experiences and outcomes in the curriculum for excellence, which I think probably just as a reference point, folks should have a look at. And actually also some other outside reference points, the kind of ITSE type standards from America, the kind of global standards, American standards should also be used as a reference point. And finally, just a shout out for Doug Belshaw. It was really nice actually to see Doug's PhD on digital literacies being referenced in the meeting I've just come from. It does show as a community we are all joined up and people know what's going on, which was really positive.
Yeah, because I look at different tribes and I put this point to Bob Harrison, there's different people looking through different lenses, but underneath it all, and what's not being talked about or hasn't been talked about up to now, is the idea of a digital literacy curriculum, the thing that underpins it all, that people need moving on into the 21st century.
And I kind of think that's the key. But it's really hard to get people to see past perhaps specific hardware or specific competencies that might be related to even specific kinds of software, and to talk about or to talk in a generic way around even what we're doing just now, you know, the capturing sound files, managing and manipulating and doing all these kind of things, but describing that in a way which allows learners to use lots of different tools to do it, but to manipulate sound and images and text and do all these kind of things. I think we're just beginning to get more confident about talking at that kind of level, but too often I think we suddenly get bogged back down into, but what kind of specific hardware do you mean, and what type of perhaps commercial level software do you need to do this? And of course, nowadays you don't need often specific hardware or commercial software to do all these kind of things. But we do need the learners to develop these digital literacy skills.
Yeah, definitely. And I've been pointing out to people that, you know, what's coming on the horizon is HTML5. It's web native technologies, things that you actually can let into the school. And if you have digital leaders, if your students, you've seen students outside doing the interviews and things, if you pass those competencies and skills on to them and you have some transactional skills and you start to skin it in a management way, and thinking about the management of the whole thing rather than the little bits and pieces, you can come to a sort of more fruitful resolution to your problems.
Again, that's a very good question. I'm quite a fortunate position in that I get to move through quite a lot of the UK education system and schools, primary, secondary, further education, HE, and into work-based learning. We aren't there yet. I mean, a lot of the more confident sort of leadership still, I think, comes from some institutions, perhaps in the States. I can see it in Australia sometimes, and in New Zealand as well, where the learners are running networks, the learners are managing, running the networks, and actually learning as they go about digital citizenship and security and all these other bits and pieces. They're running the network and equipping themselves with skills that they can use in the workplace, but also skills that are transferable into other occupations and things that some of the time what we need to do in all of this is actually place a much higher degree of trust in our learners. Ask them what they how they want to use the technology and what they want to learn about the technology, and let the learners lead some of this.
And some of the other elements I'm trying to focus people in on are things like action research, reflection on what you're doing, but also the other issues that are coming up. If you're going to teach computer science, if you're going to teach this digital literacy, you need some people sometimes who are who have the expertise. How are you going to bring them in? How are you going to co-opt them? Maybe there's more of a place for an economy based around that, as opposed to box shifting and other things that go into the schools. You know, at the moment, I think a lot of teachers and senior managers can't see the wood for the trees. With greatest respect to all the people who are selling the commercial services outside, I think that they do need to think about this landscape and how it's going to change.
Again, I think some of the things that might help, but we have to be aware of the things that are there in the first place, is there's gradually becoming some quite good global communities of practice where people who are learning to teach about programming and they haven't perhaps thought about teaching programming for a wee while can actually share good practice and do share lesson plans, do all these kind of things. They're beginning to spring up, but as they spring up, they're actually springing up on a global scale because lots of people around the world are wrestling with these things. And I suppose that's the challenge sometimes, even for a UK-based organisation like NACE, of being relaxed as to when they supply local support, when actually they say, what we'll do is we'll point people out to this global community. Or more fundamentally, I think, about the self-confidence of the UK, we should be setting up some of these global communities. Often what I find are innovative teachers leading these global communities who don't know more than UK teachers, but they've had that bit more confidence to start off leading the charge in one of these areas. And I think there's confident and capable teachers and learners in across the UK who could be doing a bit more leadership of some of these communities. You know, for instance, we know that programming is going to be there's a skills gap around programming in across UK. I mean, I'll include Scotland in that, and it would be good to see two or three, or be pointed towards two or three fairly active teacher communities where teachers start doing self-help, and that might be a community of work-based learning practitioners, higher education. If this is such an issue for higher education, it's probably, again, some HE staff who could usefully contribute to that type of community, and classroom teachers, and get together and move things on.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the Computing at Schools community down here that's starting to do that, and you have these various tribes. But it then comes back every single time, it seems to me, for senior management and them not getting it. And I will say that because I'm an independent consultant and I can be not that politic, even though I'm here and I'm sort of interviewing people and people are being very politic. But things do have to change. And it does seem to me, some people say to me, yeah, if only I could get inside the room with the senior management and show them this for 20 minutes, they'd get it. Because the senior management are good at managing. They're good at getting this happening. But they don't see it at the moment, I think, in the main.
I am moving away from my level, my domain of expertise. But one of the things that I've liked from the outset was the Becta developed, now NACE owned, sort of charter mark standard for ICT in centres. And I think kind of if the HMIE or the inspectorate sort of reinforce some of these things, then that would make most school leaders, let's say, pay more attention to how they're organised and running and supporting this agenda across the whole school. And I still kind of think that's the way forward. And I'll probably leave the comment at that.
Yes, you've done very well. I've given you some very challenging questions in some areas you're not quite sure about. Tell me about the work-based things and how it seeps in, because you have got a lot of expertise at that in Scotland and those competencies and that learning sphere, and how that could be sort of used in this country, maybe.
Okay, well, I'll talk actually unashamedly about vendors, because it often it's vendor packages and things that people do encounter when they finally arrive in the workplace. And actually, the vendors, and I'll name some, Oracle, Microsoft, Cisco, and many others, please do nobody criticise me for not mentioning all the other ones we work with, but they all, in the main, have at entry level, really, really good, open, introductory, sometimes totally free learning materials, and then they often move on into their own specific certification programs, some of which actually are also free or very low entry costs to get engaged with them, but they all do drive up work-based skills, and they are really important. I mean, back to that bit of people are likely to run into an Oracle database, and if you can master Oracle database programming, actually, you can make a very lucrative career as a consultant. And perhaps even without going to university, you can access these kind of jobs if you polish up the specific skill sets that you need.
So in effect, it's quite interesting, because I was talking about box shifters before and looking at it from that perspective. There are a lot of work-based competencies and skills and actually schemes out there that could be sort of re-engineered possibly in the light of this to actually come together. I'd love to see some kind of joint initiative between firms. I was talking to Bob Harrison about Toshiba and their digital leaders scheme and things like that. That kind of soft skill and as well as technical skill that it actually gets into the school and they're dealing with real life and actual things they're going to have to do in the workplace.
Well, I suppose the other thing that I was talking there with a kind of strong vocational focus, but actually if you look at Intel and Oracle, and you mentioned Toshiba and Microsoft too, a lot of these big organisations have superb programmes for developing teachers' use of ICT in the classroom, and actually, again, very much in the favour of all of these companies, they aren't vendor specific. They actually are trying genuinely to show a range of a whole lot of open technologies, and I'll use that word, open technologies and open educational resources, which might come as a surprise that the vendors are actually encouraging people to use non-vendor things, but they are. There's some really, really good training and learning materials, but the system so far hasn't really found ways. I don't know if it's a cultural thing or the not invented here thing, or perhaps, you know, some of the things do have American accents and things in them, but we haven't embraced and used these amazing learning materials as much as we probably ought to have.
Yeah, and I think that's another enduring theme of this conference is content and context. How do you sushi chop up the bits and find them, and where, how can you organize yourself in terms of your own curriculum and into CPD? Those seem to be emerging as 21st century skills, I think, for teachers.
Okay, that's another hard question. So yes, I agree with all that, and I'm going to put a plug in for something, I think, at this point. I've been working for now a number of years with higher education and something called Jorum, which is an open learning object repository. So that where when you discover something good, or you make something good, or you mix and mash and you create something new, we need places like Jorum where teachers in HE and FE and schools and primary schools, where sort of people who work in lifelong learning can share good stuff, because if you share good stuff, you can improve your own professional understanding. But some of the stuff that's there, you can use directly with learners. And again, I think where we are still is that across the UK, we've got a lot of secret cupboards with stuff hidden in, good stuff hidden in, and good people sometimes hidden inside them. And we don't make enough use of things like Jorum or various other things where there's genuine attempts to create things that are open and free and help that sharing culture. I think we still have problems with our sharing culture.
Well, thank you so much for that long interview, Joe. And I'll let you get back to your lunch.
Many thanks. Thank you. Always a pleasure.